Welcome to Prompted, the podcast where we spark imagination one writing prompt at a time. My name is Eric, and I'll be your host on this journey of creative exploration, where the boundaries between words and imagination blur. New episodes of Prompted will be released every Monday, so be sure to tune in each week for fresh inspiration. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or you can listen directly from our website, thepromptedpodcast.org. In each episode, I explore creative writing through in-depth discussions in our deep dive segments. I will also feature my own original poetry and other writing inspired by the writing prompts from the previous week. And to keep it going, I'll share a new writing prompt at the end for you to try. I'd love to see what you're working on. Share your writing with me using the hashtag #PromptedPodcast on Blue Sky. I'm always eager to connect with listeners and hear how the prompts are inspiring you. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's creative writing journey. There's a kind of poem that gets smaller as it goes, each line shorter than the last, each step tighter, until there's nothing left but a single syllable, the final word. It's called a nonet. That's N-O-N-E-T. 9 lines, starting with 9 syllables and counting down to 1. And somewhere in that countdown, something strange happens. Your focus sharpens. Your phrasing tightens. You start choosing words like they matter, because they do. There's no room to wander, no space to hide, just a narrowing path and the pressure to stick the landing. This is what makes the nonet so powerful. It isn't just structure, it's momentum. 9 lines, no mercy. Writing towards zero. One of the most useful things about the nonet is the way it forces your writing to move. You're always headed somewhere, whether toward a punch, a shift, or a quiet moment. That countdown structure creates a natural arc, and it's incredibly satisfying when it clicks. There's something almost mathematical about it. You're subtracting syllables with every line, yes, but also refining thought, honing image, and reducing noise. It's not unlike sculpting. You start with a big block, that's your opening line, the fullest one, and then chip away, line by line, until only the essential shape remains. Want a writing warm-up that doubles as a precision tool? The nonet is your friend. Constraint sharpens voice for poets and fiction writers. 9 lines. A strict syllable count, a shrinking space to get your message across. That kind of structure puts pressure on your words, and pressure reveals voice. You start making choices fast. Do you lean lyrical or direct? Use fragments or full sentences? Does the poem turn at line 5 or spiral inward the whole way down? Constraints like this don't kill creativity, they concentrate it. You end up saying more by saying less. And this isn't just a poet's trick. Fiction writers, this applies to you too. Nonets are like tiny story engines. They don't give you room for a full arc, but they're perfect for moments, for transformation, realization, revenge, or regret. 1 second, distilled. But here's the important part. You don't need to use the visual shape of the nonet. The real power is in its internal structure. That countdown rhythm helps you strip away anything extra and stay focused on the core of your scene or character moment. Let me show you what I mean. Here's a poetic nonet that captures a moment of emotional clarity. The letter trembled in her hands, unread. She knew what it meant, but couldn't admit. The ink seemed to blur, a message, unsure, something left unsaid. And then the truth, he never wrote. Not once. Silence. Now, here's a version that shows how a fiction writer might use that same no-nuts style structure without formatting it like a poem. Blue slid down the walls, slow, thick, like nightmare sound. "You trust too easy," he said, with teeth unfit for smiling. "I sparked the match anyway. Smoke never rushes. It studies you, takes its time, remembers, waits, knows." Each line contracts like a heartbeat slowing. The rhythm becomes part of the meaning. The final word lands like a verdict. So think of the no-net as a tool for compression, for focus, for controlling the speed and weight of a scene, whether it looks like a poem or not. You don't have to call it a no-net. Just let it do the work. Rhythm and breath. There's a natural tension in the form that echoes in how it's read aloud. Each line is shorter than the last, so the pace tightens, the rhythm compresses. You feel the poem exhale as it descends. In that final line, that one-syllable moment, it lands like a stamp, or a whisper, or a knife. Here's one I wrote that plays with that pacing. "I left the porch light on, just in case. Your boots still wait beneath the stairs. The cat guards your chair at dusk. I still set the table for no one but routine. I hum your song. Some days I still do. Hope." There's no room for sentimentality to stretch out. The form keeps things tight. Even tender lines feel taut, like breath held between syllables. A staircase of language. No-nuts don't just sound good, they look good. That steady 9-to-1 countdown creates a visual taper on the page. Even before a reader digs into your words, they can sense that something deliberate is happening. The form signals focus, intention, precision. You can feel the weight shifting downward, line by line. As the poem tightens, the eye moves faster, and the white space grows louder. By the time you reach the last syllable, the poem has visually prepared you for impact, one final word standing alone. That's something unique to no-nuts. In many short forms, like a haiku or a cinquain, the shape is subtle. But in no-net, it announces itself. It shows you the contraction. It makes the descent part of the experience. And if you're writing with prompts, that shape can help guide your voice. It's almost like a funnel, wide at the top, specific at the bottom. You can start with something broad, an idea, an image, a memory, and by the end, land on the exact word that gives it weight. In audio, the pacing does the work. On the page, it's the shape. Either way, a good no-net pulls you forward, and then drops you gently into silence. Variations and prompts. Once you're comfortable with the basic no-net, there are some fun ways to play with it. Reverse. Start with one syllable and build up to 9. Double. Write a regular no-net, then a reverse one, mirroring the shape. Thematic. Write 9 no-nets on a single theme, each one a fragment of a larger idea. Dialogic. 2 characters, alternating lines, or full no-nets in conversation. Here are a few prompt ideas you can try. Write a no-net that begins with a lie. Write a no-net that ends with a sound effect. Write a no-net about an object that no longer works. Or write a reverse no-net from the perspective of a villain. The beauty of a nonet is that it doesn't need much, just 9 lines and a little nerve. That's the challenge. There's something about counting down that naturally builds tension. Every line is a narrowing corridor. You're steering the reader, and you only get one shot at the final word. The nonet rewards writers who know what they want to say, or who are willing to find it along the way through careful reduction. It's not about embellishment, it's about distillation. And when that final word hits just right, when it echoes back through all the lines that led to it, it can be more powerful than the paragraph. Because writing isn't always about how much you say. Sometimes it's about how precisely you say it. That's the nonet. That's the countdown. And that is the challenge. As always, I've got some short fiction for you. Quick, punchy pieces sparked by recent prompts. They're not nonets, exactly, but each one nods to that form. You'll hear rhythm, the focus, and the way it all builds to that final line. The first microfiction piece was inspired by a prompt of 3 words: abiding, reminiscent, timber. The catch? None of these words were allowed in the actual writing. Not directly. What that forces is a kind of indirect precision, capturing the essence of something without naming it, working by feel instead of label. Here it is. The ice machine coughs once, then holds its breath. Motel carpet hums beneath her bare feet. Static pours from the bathroom mirror. She blinks, and the light forgets her. A phone rings, but not here. Cigarette burns out. Dust hangs still. Somewhere. Click. The second microfiction story was inspired by the word prompt immunity. Along with it came an optional note. On World Family Day, a shield, built by love or from it. What no longer reaches you? What do you choose to keep out? Now, we weren't required to write to that note, but I let it hang around in the background while I was working on this. I also gave myself a creative challenge. Write a micro story using a descending sentence structure, or basically a subtle nod to the nonet form. Here we go. It wasn't a big house, but it had rules, like no yelling before coffee, no shoes on the couch, and absolutely no guilt tripping on Sundays. The door stayed open, but only for the right kind of chaos. Hugs were mandatory, apologies optional, laughter frequent, tears allowed. Drama? Left outside. Judgment? Lost. Immunity. The third microfiction piece was inspired by a writing prompt of 2 words, yellow and enthusiasm, paired with a theme of emotion and color. For this one, I imagined a setting, a sunflower field in full bloom, and let the prompt words guide the tone and arc of the story. Harriet walked the narrow path through a sea of sunflowers, yellow stretching tall and bright around her like a memory trying to be heard. The light felt soft, and for a moment, enthusiasm stirred, small, fluttering, like a laugh she hadn't used in years. She touched a petal. It shook. So did she. Someone had been here with her. Once. Gone. Still yellow. Still waiting. The stories have said their piece. Now let's slip into poetry, where every word pulls a little more weight, and the silence between them speaks just as clearly. Every poem you're about to hear is a nonet, shaped by that same countdown structure we explored earlier. The first poem was written in response to the prompt impervious. When exploring that word, I thought about the idea of inner stillness, not just resisting chaos, but coexisting with it in a quiet way. I call this poem Window Weather. The storm knocks twice, then hums at the glass. Tree limbs scratch like old phonograph songs. Inside, the kettle keeps its beat. Curtains breathe against the breeze. You stay impervious, trimming the crusts, smiling wide, socks warm, still. The second poem was built around the word modicum. For this piece, I didn't use the word in the poem itself. It's amazing how the nonet structure helps you focus on what truly matters, just a touch of something meaningful. I call this poem Little Enough. A pinch of salt, a square of late light, the hush that comes between two old laughs, a drawer closed soft with care, not haste, all things so easy to miss. But here they are kept, there not much, no, but they are there, they wait, yes. This third poem was inspired by the word prompt plethora. I wanted the poem to express that overwhelming abundance, more than you asked for, more than you knew what to do with. I call this too much sky. So much sky today, it breaks the fence. Clouds spill like laundry, nowhere safe. Even the birds seem unsure now. One turned back, another lands. Too many choices, too much for wings. Still, they fly, they try, go. At the end of last week's episode, I offered a prompt. Give someone a compliment that's anything but ordinary. No cliches, no easy praise. Make it strange, specific, awkward, or unexpectedly beautiful. Here's my poetic response. You remind me of the first spoon that ever stirred soup in silence. Not because you're quiet, but because you understand when not to clang. There's a grace in your pauses, like a fox deciding not to cross the road, not because it's afraid, but because it respects the journey of tires. You make the ordinary bow its head and rethink itself. Even lint on your sweater feels lucky to catch a ride. That was my poem for the writing prompt for the last episode of Prompted. I hope you enjoyed it. Now, here's a microfiction story that takes the same idea, an unusual kind of compliment, and spins it a little. When the world's first museum of unnoticed things opened, they placed him on shelf 42B. A quiet man with a peculiar skill, he complimented people's shadows. You hold the light well, he'd say, or your shadow waits patiently when you doubt. At first, visitors laughed, then they cried, and then they stood taller, shadows stretching behind them like proud small guardians. Nobody remembered his name, but Shelf 42B never gathered dust. Compliments are one thing, but now I want brevity with bite. Let's see what you can do with 300 characters. That's enough to hint at a bigger world, a flicker of motive, a flash of trouble. Here's the prompt. Grinning under mirrored sunglasses. Go strange. Go slick. Go somewhere unexpected. As usual, I'll share my response to this prompt on the next episode. Happy writing! Thank you for listening to another episode of Prompted, where we spark imagination one writing prompt at a time. Be sure to tune in each week for fresh inspiration. You can subscribe on our website, thepromptedpodcast.org, or find us on your favorite podcast platform.